Dear beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.
Our reading for this evening is the Holy Epistle for the third last Sunday of the church year, from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Here ends the reading.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
In the name of our Lord, who will come to receive us unto himself, fellow redeemed. The letters which St. Paul wrote to the Christian congregations at the town of Thessalonica in northern Greece are known for what we call their eschatological content. That is, they deal with the issues that are connected with the end time themes, the return of our Lord, the resurrection of all flesh, final judgment, and all related matters. So we are accustomed to hearing readings from the letters to the Thessalonians during these last weeks of the Christian church year. And there are many precious things in these letters for the faithful to contemplate. The concept which this reading brings to the fore this evening is the concept of hope. The apostle contrasts those who have hope with those who have no hope. I would contend, in a very broad and general context, not limiting ourselves to the area of theology and religion for the moment, that having hope is very important for human beings. It is amazing, and I think I can use the word amazing without being guilty of hyperbole or exaggeration, it is simply amazing what human beings can endure and accomplish as long as they have some kind of hope. If we are filled with the expectation and confidence that things might be better in the future than they are right now, that is a powerful, positive motivator. People with hope endure hardships. People with hope struggle against seemingly impossible odds. People with hope find ways to carry on, even when it seems irrational and absurd to do so. And on the other hand, those without hope give up and quit, even when they have no reason to do so. And they may resort to extremely negative and destructive behaviors. It's interesting that in the English language we have this word desperado. Quite literally, it means someone without hope, someone in a state of despair. But the word has come to mean someone who turns to very reckless and even criminal behavior because he has given up on the idea that anything can get better through legitimate means. I'm reminded very frequently of this fact that I am here today, living in this country, because some people long ago had hope. My ancestors were people who had hope, and that is why I live in the United States of America today. 150 years ago, my ancestors knew what hardship was, but they had hope that things could be better, and so they endured. They had hope that things could be better, and so they carried on. They had hope that things could be better, and so they exerted themselves and underwent all kinds of arduous things, but they succeeded in making a better life for themselves and for their descendants. Now, if these things are true in the kingdom of the left, as we say, in the realm of this world and our physical life here, they are also true on another level in the kingdom of the right, in the kingdom of God. We are accustomed to speak of our religion as the Christian faith, and so it is. It is made up of things that we believe in. It consists of a body of teachings found in the scriptures, things we can know about what the triune God has done to win our salvation and is still doing to give that salvation to us and to make it our very own. But this Christian faith we speak of is something that ultimately gives and imparts hope. Our reading begins with the apostle saying to the faithful, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." I do not want you to be ignorant, he says. Thereby he acknowledges that there are things to be known that are essential to the faith. The Christian religion is inseparable from a component of knowledge of things that have happened in the past and that will happen in the future. It's not just a set of moral or philosophical principles. And what the knowledge component consists of unfolds for us in these verses that we have just read. Specifically, the apostle says that we are not to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, that is, those who have died in the faith. Because those who are ignorant, he says, experience the sorrow of despair. They have no hope. And then he shows the essential truths of the faith, the knowledge on which we build. We believe that the Son of God in human flesh died and rose again. The Son of God experienced death in our place and rose in victory. He was delivered up to death in our place because of our offenses and was raised again to win for us the verdict of justification. Those things all happened in the past. They are the content of the faith, the things that we know and believe. But these truths point us into the future, and they give us hope. God will bring with him, that is, with Christ, those who sleep in Jesus, the apostle says. Death, that final enemy, and that ultimate evidence of the reality of evil, which came upon all creation as a result of the fall into sin. Death itself has been transformed by the death and resurrection of the Son of God in human flesh. Death has become a sleep from which the faithful will awaken. And then he goes into several statements about what is going to happen at the end, the order of things when the Lord returns on the last day. The last things, he says, will be attended by a shout. The voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God will sound forth across the heavens. These things will announce the coming of Christ in glory, the resurrection of the dead, and the reunion of all the faithful with their Lord. These are truths to be believed, but there is more. These are truths that give hope, and even more than that, these truths are to be used by the faithful to comfort and encourage one another. Comfort one another, the apostle says. Comfort one another with these words. And that is why we come together and we gather around the gospel. In the midst of earthly life where the snares of death surround us, and we all participate in the great funeral procession that we call life in a fallen world, carrying one another off to our resting place, there is comfort and there is hope. And so we can say with the apostle, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And blessed are those who hear and believe and make that comfort and hope that comes from God their own by faith. Blessed are you. Amen." Continue with the canticle hymn. Please rise.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit